Welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. Thank you for being here with us. Today we consider the case for Christ. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and many of our listeners will be familiar with the story of Lee Strobel, an investigative journalist who decided to use his skills to investigate Christian claims about Jesus. Well, he ended up a Christian, a pastor, and the author of a series of books investigating the hardest objections to Christianity. His most famous book, The Case for Christ, has been adapted into a major motion picture, as they say, and is now in theaters. Lee Strobel, thank you so much for joining us today on Catholic Answers Focus.
I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Is it weird to have your own story on the big screen?
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing because we said if we're going to make a movie, it's got to be honest. And so it shows a lot of behavior before I was a Christian that I'm not particularly proud of. As I was legal editor of the Chicago Tribune, an atheist and a heavy drinker, lived a very profane and narcissistic and self-absorbed and hedonistic life. So, a bit of that is shown in the film, and it's not comfortable to show, but it's reality. And thank God that I met him, and God has changed my life, my values, my character over time.
Well, I was very impressed with how the movie works as both that kind of personal story, and at the same time, it's almost documentary in its look at the evidence for Christ.
Yeah, the screenwriter, Ryan Bird, was really deft in his ability to weave our story of a marriage, a love story, a father-son story, a story of a big city newspaper, and so forth, along with the spiritual investigation, looking at the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. So I think some people who've seen the book might think, oh, this must be a documentary, but
right.
It's not. It's a theatrical release. We have a great cast of Academy Award winners and Golden Globe winners and Academy Award nominees and Tony Award winners. Faye Dunaway is in it, just a superb cast. So it's a story that draws you in, but also, looks at the evidence and talks about the fact that our faith in God is not based on legend and make-believe and wishful thinking. You know, there is a solid foundation of historical truth to the resurrection of Jesus.
And that the fact of that historical truth, when I think in some ways when people aren't familiar with how strong the evidence is, that they tend then to see Christianity as a religion among religions. Oh, it's just another way. But the facts of the case suggest that's not what Christianity is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, two things are special to know about Christianity. One is among world religions, it's different in the sense that it is investigatable faith. It invites investigation. The Apostle Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. So in other words, Christianity makes certain claims about things that happened in history, that Jesus lived, that he was executed, he was dead, and that he was reliably encountered afterwards. Those are historical issues that we can investigate. And then the other issue is the issue of the exclusivity of Christianity. You know, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Now, I could claim to be the Son of God. You could claim to be the Son of God. But if Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, died, and then 3 days later rose from the dead, that's pretty good evidence he's telling the truth. And therefore, we should believe him when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That this claim that Christianity is an exclusive religion. To believe in the truth of Christianity is to not believe in other contrary faith systems.
Yeah, and I suppose I came to the film thinking, oh, it's going to be mostly a head kind of thing. And I was impressed with how it's a heart thing and a head thing, and I wonder how much in your own life you think both are necessary.
Well, that's a great observation. I'm so glad you felt that because I agree with you. I mean, this film really does touch the heart as well as the head and looks at the evidence as well as personal motivations and so forth. And it's a love story at bottom line. It's a love story between God and us. It's a love story between Leslie and me and her perseverance and praying for me and reaching out to me and so forth. So you're right. It really is. And I think both are important. What's interesting to me is how God, in his love and his grace and his wisdom, is able to connect with us at the very point where we need to be connected with.
Yes.
In other words, my wife Leslie did not need to see 2 years worth of historical data that I needed to see to be convinced that Jesus is who he claimed to be. She took another path. It was more a sense of just an affirmation in her heart that this is true. And that's totally valid that she came to believe based on the Word of God that she read, and it touched her heart, and she believed it to be true. She received Christ, and her life has changed. But some people are different. Some people like me, because I have a background in law and journalism, I think God knew this is a hard nut to crack in the sense that it's someone who wants evidence and fact and logic and rationality. And doggone it, he provided it, you know. He left a trail in history that can be investigated. And for people like me, the facts are there if we'll just look for them.
And it's what's something that's fascinating to me. I wonder if you see this. The events of the movie take place over the late 70s, early 80s. And that's the same time frame that you had your conversion to Christianity.
Right.
And as you said, you're kind of a hard-headed fact. I don't mean to say that in a derogatory way.
But, no,
you know,
but you're right.
but a fact. And it does seem that, okay, in the subsequent years, say from 1980 to now 2017, the world has become much more intellectually or determined to intellectually challenge Christianity with the new atheists and all that.
Right.
Do you ever get the feeling kind of that in your conversion that God planted a little seed there and okay, so but it was ready to flower at the time when the world needed it? It seems to me God's response often comes before the challenge itself develops.
Yeah, again, that's a very astute observation. And I think you're right. You know, we're living in a time of shifting moral relativism, a time when, you know, this post-truth culture where people are wondering, what can I depend on? What do I know to be true? What can I trust these days, you know? And it's the perfect time, I think, for the book and the movie to talk about this kind of evidence. You know, the Bible specifically links our hope with the resurrection. And, you know, if the resurrection is true, it changes everything. And, you know, it is a rock upon which we can build our lives, and it is an anchor upon which we can build our lives. And so I think you're right that this is an era, and maybe that's why after the book came out, 18 years ago, I got phone calls, two of them in the same week, from two different motion picture studios asking about making a movie out of the book.
Wow.
Because, like you, they sense this cultural shift and believe that this kind of film is important. You know, it's just like God in his omniscience to know that, you know, let's start something cooking back in, 1980 that's going to have ever more relevance in the year 2017.
Right. And it seems like when you see a book that became a movie, a fictional book like The Da Vinci Code, where it seems like it's an investigative book and it's an investigative story, and the whole point is to debunk Christianity.
Right.
But here, your story is not fiction. And it's an investigation. It's the same arc, really.
Yes.
But to a completely different end.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I set out to disprove it, became convinced of it. But, you know, the evidence that I encountered is historically valid, unlike the Da Vinci Code that tried to write off Christianity as being mythology and having, you know, been a copycat religion that stole its central beliefs from Mithraism and other ancient cults, and which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just been debunked so thoroughly by Christians that I'm shocked anybody would even walk down that path anymore. But you know, you're right. This film really does explore what is the historical evidence. And you know what? We've got a surprising amount of data that is convincing. You know, we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. I mean, that's an avalanche of historical data. When you consider most of what we know from ancient history, we know from, you know, 1 or 2 sources.
Right.
There's 9 sources right there. And we have this early creed of the church that says that Jesus died, was buried 3 days, and rose from the dead, and then it mentions specific eyewitnesses to whom he appeared. a creed that's been dated back by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus. I mean, this is historical gold. This is a newsflash from ancient history. This comes way too early to write it off as being a legend.
Yeah.
So we've got, and the empty tomb, even the opponents of Jesus implicitly conceded the tomb was empty. So we've got a really good case that Jesus didn't just claim to be the Son of God, but back that up by returning from the dead.
And that, so when I wonder if in your own mind you have an audience in mind for the movie. I mean, on the one hand, I can see especially young Christians, but Christians in general, going and being affirmed, like, yeah, they're, yeah, you know, getting. Or is it meant more to be for the viewer who isn't convinced by Christian claims, to give
them? I think it's a both and.
Okay.
And here's what I think is going to happen. This is what happened with my book. I wanted to write my book, The Case for Christ, to reach non-believers, because I want to see people come to faith in Jesus and see their lives and eternities change. And but, you know, the average non-believer is not going to pick up a book called The Case for Christ unless they're really on a spiritual quest. But what happens is Christians buy the book. They get excited. It reaffirms their faith. It gives them stronger reasons to believe. They begin to understand why I believe what I believe. And they give the book to a friend who's a spiritual skeptic, and then they have a relationship through which they can have a discussion. Well, that's what I see happening with this movie. I see Christians going to the movie, getting so affirmed in their faith and holding their head up high and saying, I believe in something that is true. It is, the evidence backs it up. But then as they walk out of the theater saying, oh my goodness, I need to come back to this film and invite my colleague at work or my neighbor or my brother or my fellow student at the university and then have a conversation with them afterwards. I think that's how the non-believers are going to come into this film, and which is great because there's a relationship there so that after the movie's over, you go out to a coffee shop and you can talk about it.
Right, right. And also families can go because there's a certain inoculating effect that if you've seen the most serious objections, then you're less vulnerable.
I think that's totally true. And how many times do I get approached by parents and grandparents when I'm doing a book signing or whatever after church, and they say, oh, my grandson grew up in the church, and now he's walked away, and I don't know what to do. And you used a great word, inoculation, to inoculate them. Let's get our young people exposed to the evidence for the faith so that they become inoculated when they begin hearing this, you know, some of these wild claims being made by the new atheists. They don't get sidetracked by that, or their faith doesn't get challenged by that.
And PureFlix is the company that made this movie.
Right.
And they also made God Is Not Dead.
Right.
And this seems to be, I may have just missed it earlier, but it seems to me there's a kind of flowering of these Christian-themed movies and even companies. Like, I wonder what you make of that trend and if you think we're doing well there.
I think we are doing increasingly well, and here's why I say that. You know, for years, they were Christian films, and they kind of were cringeworthy. You know, you'd watch them, and they were a little cheesy, the acting wasn't so good, the production values weren't very good, and you said, okay, for a Christian film, okay, it's all right, but I don't want to invite my friend to see it because they'll make fun of it. Well, we've got to the point where this film doesn't have any of those cringeworthy moments in it. There's no cheesiness. The production qualities are great. We have Faye Dunaway in it, Academy Award winner, Hollywood legend. You know, we've got great actors and actresses, a terrific script, great production values. I think it's on par with any movie that you would see, but it has that faith component to it. And I celebrate that, you know, because we need to influence the culture. And, you know, one way to do that in the 21st century is through the cinema. I mean, so many young people especially are just so into movies. And if we can begin to produce really excellent movies. And there was another one recently called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, movie made by a church in Chicago. Excellent little movie. No cringe moments. Well done. It was kind of a romantic, light kind of film. Had a faith message in it, but very well done. And, you know, I just cheer that on. I remember tweeting the people who made that film and say, good for you guys. That's a great little film. And I've been thrilled by the way that this film has garnered endorsements from The Catholic community, from Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., the head of the education office of the L.A. Archdiocese, and then Hispanic churches and African-American churches, charismatic churches, evangelical churches. And because why? The commonality is the resurrection. And in a day when Christianity is being attacked more and more, we need to gather together as followers of Jesus and say, you know what, one of the central tenets that we all agree on is the resurrection. Let's unite and tell the world that this is not mythology or make-believe.
Right.
This is a historical reality.
Well, I have to say, I have been, as a journalist, and sometimes in a position of kind of making nice about stuff that wasn't, but you, like when you say there's no cringe moments, you really just lose yourself in the movie. It's and I think that's what should happen. It shouldn't be a movie where you're kind of going, well, you know, they mean well. That's not
right.
at all
right.
what you're getting here. And I do think, I mean, maybe that's not the right way to do it, but as a journalist have in the past, on occasion, okay, they meant well. So you try to,
right.
you know, be as nice as you can about the thing, but you don't have to be nice about this movie at all.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. That's been so affirming from so many people that have seen it. I've had friends who are very influential Christian leaders, and they said, Lee, I didn't want to watch the movie. I sent them a link to watch it on their computer. They said, because I thought I wouldn't like it, and then what would I say to you?
Right.
But then they watch it, and they go, oh my goodness, this is a great film. It's entertaining. It brings you in. It satisfies emotionally as well as intellectually. So we're thrilled with that. And we hope it's the beginning of an increasing trend toward better and better faith films.
Yeah, I wonder if like Mel Gibson making The Passion of the Christ,
mm-hmm.
you think of that as really high
yes.
quality filmmaking. I wonder if just enough, there's kind of a critical mass where people start to go, no, we got to, you know, this is the level we have to be at.
Yeah, I think he did kind of set a high watermark for, you know, what we can aspire to. I mean, it
right.
was a great motion picture. And, you know, I think it caused a lot of people who make faith films to say, we need to do better.
Right.
The Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord.
Right.
So we want to be excellent. We want to try our best. And we want to influence the culture. And we can't do that if, as you say, we're kind of making excuses for the fact that we're not that good.
Yeah, right. It's the like there's almost like, well, you know, we're doing it for God so we can lower yeah. our standards, when I think just the opposite is the case.
Absolutely.
And that's the case with this movie. The movie, again, to the listener, is The Case for Christ, this month in theaters all over the place. Lee Strobel is our guest for this edition of Catholic Answers Focus. And I do want to ask you about, you know, you made a kind of ecumenical, I guess, pitch
yeah.
there. And it does seem to me that given the cultural pressures, it's back to basics time for us Christians.
Yes.
I wonder what you think about that.
I think I must say amen. What are the non-negotiables of the faith? Let's focus on that. What are the truths of the historic Christian faith that we can proclaim and we can rally around and be brothers and sisters and tell the world that that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and therefore the Bible is not just made up of good suggestions on how to live, but it's the Word of God and tells us from God himself how it is that we need to conduct ourselves in this world. And so I think the resurrection, that's why I'm so glad that in God's sovereignty, he left footprints in history. He left the evidence behind as Jesus, for his birth, for his life, for his
yeah.
teachings, for his death, for his resurrection, so that we're not floundering around, but we can build our life on something that's solid and true.
And do you have I don't know how to put this to you, Lee, without being obnoxious, but I mean, it seems that the times are tough. I mean, it does seem that there's a vast lostness in the world.
Yes.
Are you hopeful? Are you pessimistic? Where do you come down now?
Well, I mean, I've read the end of the book, so I know at the end it's all going to be okay. but there's a lot of pages between, you know.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, what you mentioned earlier is so true that, you know, we're seeing the rise of new atheism, a lot of skepticism, a lot of websites attacking Christianity. Atheists become more militant, more hostile. You know, it used to be that if you want to run for public office in this country, you better be a Christian, or people would question your credibility. Now, if you're a committed follower of Christ, you may have credibility problems, you know.
Right.
Coming out as a Christian, I think, in our culture is more difficult than coming out as an atheist. You know, when I was an atheist back, you know, in the early part of my life, going up until the early 1980s, it was embarrassing. You didn't go around talking about the fact you were an atheist. My gosh, people thought you were a child molester or something. I mean, it was just... Nowadays, it's culturally popular to call yourself an atheist. You know, that's the fashionable thing to do, to be a skeptic. And it's all about pride. It's all about, you know, I'm too smart for this. I don't buy into that because, you know, I'm too clever for those kind of fairy tales. I agree with you.
And so what's the strategy going for? You know, we just interviewed a guy, I don't know if you know him, Rod Dreher wrote a book called The Benedict Option, which kind of advocates this strategy of almost cultural withdrawal to prepare ourselves to be, you know, purer as Christians. I wonder if you ever think about that. Well, like, what's our, I mean, it does seem to be a really post-Christian moment. And I don't think any of us knows how to do that. You know, how do you live in a post-Christian world as a Christian?
Well, I've not read the book yet. I need to read it. So my reaction is not based for or against what he says because I just haven't read it. But, you know, my calling from God is as an evangelist, to see people come to faith. And, you know, God sent us out as sheep among wolves. And do I find it uncomfortable these days to be a committed follower of Christ in some settings? Yeah, I do. But so what? In the first century, followers of Jesus, you know, were dipped in tar and set on fire to light up the dinner parties of Nero. Mm. You know, we're not suffering that kind of persecution. I think that it's important for us to continue to be a voice in our culture. I've got atheist friends. I reach out to people constantly because I care about them, and Jesus died for them, and the gospel still works, and I still see people coming to faith. So, you know, I'm optimistic in that sense. I think as the world reacts against some of the terrorism that we've seen and so forth, and they say there's got to be an alternative, and they look at Jesus and who he is and what he taught and what he represents, and they go, well, there's a breath of fresh air, love, grace. you know, you look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit that Galatians talk about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't want those in their life? I mean, we've got something that the world needs, and I want to be out there giving it to them.
Well, you are indeed, Lee Strobel, and this movie really does that. And so, do you have any? How many theaters will this open in? I know it's opening wide.
It's opening wide. It'll be in well over 1,000 theaters initially on April the 7th weekend. The key thing, though, as I'm learning, because I'm new to this whole thing, is that the first weekend is really, really important. That if we get a really good showing of people coming out that first weekend, we'll double in the number of theaters the next weekend. So it's important that if people are going to see it, they go and see it as early as they can to kind of get their vote in so that the theaters will expand the reach of the movie even further.
And then more books. Can we expect more books from you? I mean, you've made the case for Christ, and then I'm going to the case for faith. And are there more in along that? I almost feel like I have to be honest with you, Lee. I almost feel like we need a book called The Case for Reality, given the fact that it just seems that people don't want reality anymore. They want to make up their own reality.
It's true, isn't it? I did The Case for Creator, which looks at the scientific evidence for a creator.
Yeah.
And I've got two more in the series that I'm working on, and I'm getting kind of old, you know. I'm closer to 70 than 60, so I've got two more that I want to do, and I think that's kind of the assignment God's given me. I have some other projects I'm involved in, but they all revolve around evangelism and apologetics, helping people understand why we believe what we believe, helping people see the evidence, and reaching out training Christians how to share Jesus with other people in a natural way. I don't know, I'm exhilarated by the culture. I'm exhilarated by the challenge. I'm exhilarated that God, he didn't have to include us in this process, you know,
right.
There's this redemptive drama being played out around the globe, and he has allowed us a role in this, to write books, to do radio shows, to talk to a neighbor, to live out our faith authentically, even despite the challenges. I'm exhilarated by it all. Maybe I'm, I don't know. It's just the way I see it.
Well, that strikes me as a faithful. I mean, to faith in God is faith in a loving God. There's I think you actually said that in one of, where it's not just that you have faith; it's what you have faith in. And we do indeed have a God who loves us.
Yes, exactly. And you know, his love is so needed in this world today. You know, golly, you turn on the news and you go, you know, if the world could meet Jesus. And know him as mm-hmm. as we know him, my goodness, what a different place this would be. But you know, that's the challenge, and I don't want to shrink back from that. I want to be on the forefront. I want to until my final breaths know that I've done what I can do to share this good news.
And so somebody goes to see this movie, some young person, and says, "I'm in. I want to live my life for Christ." What's your advice to them, or what's your counsel to them at this moment?
You know, if someone comes to the film, their faith is ignited in a fresh way. You know, the prayer I would ask them to pray is to say to God, "God, use me like you've never used me before." Clarify, what is my calling? What is it that you want me to accomplish in this world? What's the purpose for which you have me on this planet? You know, I was a journalist. I loved journalism. I loved big city newspapers. I had printer's ink in my veins. And I wanted to stay in it after I became a Christian because I thought it was important to have Christians in the newsrooms of America. And God clearly called me into a ministry as an evangelist. And I remember thinking to myself, because I had a lot of people trying to talk me out of it, because they said, "Hey, you'll never be able to feed your kids, and you know, how are you going to survive?" You know, but I pictured myself on my deathbed, putting my head on the pillow for the last time, and looking back at my life and saying, "If I hadn't pursued the calling that God had put on my heart, how would I feel at that moment?" And I would have felt like I missed it. I missed it, God. God had something for me. He called me into a role in the kingdom, and if I had turned it down, if I had said no, if I had played it safe, if I had stayed with comfortable and what I was used to, I would have missed this incredible adventure that God has had me on. And I just picture myself at the end saying, What might have been? I would have been tortured by the what might have beens if I had said yes to God. So, you know, I would encourage people to pray and say, you know, God, here's my answer. Yes. Now what's the question? You know, what's your assignment? My answer is yes. We got that out. Now you tell me what I just said yes to.
That's beautiful. Lee, thank you so much for defending the kind of, I mean, I do think your adult life has been devoted to defending the intellectual sturdiness of the Christian faith, the reasonableness of the Christian faith. And thank you for that, for your years of service in that regard. And I can highly recommend, I can actually, without any sense of cringing, there's not a single cringe in this, the movie, The Case for Christ. I hope you will go see it. Lee Strobel, thank you so much for joining us today on Catholic Answers Focus.
I've really enjoyed it. Thanks so much. God bless.
God bless you too, and best of luck with the movie. Thanks to all our listeners who joined us today on Catholic Answers Focus. We do this every week. We're happy to have you back next week. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and we'll see you again on Catholic Answers Focus.